Live from the Red Ivy Sports Bar in Chicago, site of the 2015 NFL Draft, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Tonight, starting at 7 o'clock on News Channel 5, a special draft special. It's so special.
Special draft special. Yes.
It's the SDS, the special draft special. Matt Wilhelm and I will be here in Chicago. Matt will be on the gold carpet talking to the prospects. I'll be bringing the latest news and giving you my thoughts on what the Browns are going to do, hosted by Andy Baskin back in Cleveland. So be sure to tune in and check that out at 7 on News Channel 5. We're going back to the Ohio Business Machines hotline right now and bringing in Yahoo NFL insider Eric Edholm. Eric, welcome to the show on a crazy day in general, but it seems to be even crazier for the Browns being linked to so many different trades and rumors, et cetera. What is the latest you're hearing on the Browns?
Yeah, I mean, I'm hearing a lot now, which means that some of it is real, some of it is not. I think what the Browns and what many other NFL teams are doing, obviously most aren't equipped with as many picks and needs and possibilities as the Browns do, but you know, I think they're stacking up what their potential offers are right now to the point where it would be almost hard to imagine them staying at 12 and 19. I mean, they've got enough, I think, on their plates. And, you know, it's not like I have the list of exactly what offers they've made or what they've accepted or what they've looked at. But at this point, it just feels like it would be hard to imagine them sticking at 12 and 19 and getting, you know, Danny Shelton and Nelson Aguilar or whatever. I think there's going to be an aggressive
move. Which would be great.
If they get the right deal.
Eric, now also, too, you know, thrown into the bag of tricks, and simply because the Cleveland Browns have, you know, potentially offered, you know, a first-round draft pick in exchange for Sam Bradford at a certain point earlier in this offseason, do you think the Cleveland Browns are in play for Bradford to help the Eagles facilitate an opportunity to get up to number two to take Marcus Mariota?
Yeah, I mean, it's right. It would come back to bite you, wouldn't it, on two fronts. If Sam doesn't, A, you know, rehab and play well, B, potentially sign a contract extension, and I don't know that he would. I mean, I would think I'd want that information before I make such a deal. And C, in that scenario, you're sort of facilitating another team to find a quarterback that you've been linked to. So it's tough, right? I mean, it just doesn't all quite add up. That said, I really can't tell you what this team is going to do based on their recent history, based on the way they've handled some situations well. I think the Sammy Watkins deal on the surface was smart. So do they want to go the opposite direction and give up a future draft pick, knowing how well they did in return in terms of draft pick value a year ago? So it's just a lot to absorb right now, a lot to sort of figure out, hey, makes sense. Does this really, you know, are we enabling another team to get a great quarterback prospect that they've been linked to? We better be darn sure that Sam Bradford is going to be ready to play for us.
You better be darn sure. Right now, what percentage would you put on the likelihood of the Browns acquiring Sam Bradford based on what you're hearing?
38%. I don't know where I came up with that number, but could it be closer to 50? Yeah, I mean, I think there's a possibility. But they have, like I said, I feel like they have to find out, does Sam want to be here? Is he in good health? Would he consider signing an extension? And can we put enough around him to make it viable? I mean, I understand in theory what Josh McCown is supposed to be there for, but why don't you pay him $5 million if you're
right,
seeking out other quarterback options? That's a lot invested in three different quarterback spots. That almost tells me for certain that you're looking to move Johnny Manziel. I mean, I just can't wrap my head around that much money and resources put into one position, even one as important as QB.
Do you think the fact that Ed Werder comes out and reports today that the Cowboys would not be interested in Johnny Manziel means that Johnny Manziel trade feelers have been sent out?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, right? I mean, that there at least have been some conversations, whether it's between the Browns and Cowboys, or perhaps Ed Werder or some other person goes up to Stephen Jones and says, hey, if Johnny becomes available, are you interested? So those conversations can happen with the media initiating it first. So I don't want to quite go there, but I can see why you would speculate, hey, this does come out. This sort of makes you think that there's at least been some chatter that Manziel could be quietly peddled in the next 24 hours.
Eric, with just a few hours before the NFL draft tonight, who do you have as your top risers and your fallers as well?
Well, I mentioned Aguilar earlier. I mean, I think, you know, it's a deep wide receiver class, and it is a little bit of a, you know, not beating the eye of the beholder, but they're different types. You've got the bigger guys. You've got the sort of medium, you know, intermediate receivers. And then you've got the really short, quick speedball type. So there's strength in all of them. But I think Aguilar could end up being a really, really good player. I believe he's better than Marquise Lee coming out of USC. I think he would be a great fit as a Z receiver. Can line up in a number of different spots. He can be an X2 for that matter. I you know, he's a little jagged in his route running, but boy, he is a blur to watch. And I love him on the field, yards after the catch. So Aguilar could surprise some people with how high he goes. Todd Gurley, too. I think when it's all said and done, Gurley is top 10. I just don't know where. Those are the risers, the fallers, you know, some obvious candidates. Teams aren't understanding what to make of this whole Lyle Collins thing. I'm sure you guys have talked about it, but without much coming out of the Collins camp, as in, hey, yes, we are meeting with, you know, the authorities, you know, we're set to give them our side of the story. We really haven't heard that from them. They've been quiet. I've reached out to them. That's scary. So why are you sparing a first-round pick on that? I think he's going to slide out of the first round now.
Sounds like he will. Talk with Eric Edholm from Yahoo Sports. Talk about Todd Gurley. He's a riser. He's a name continually linked to the Browns from Edwards on earlier, saying if you're the Browns, you have to take him. I like what the Browns have in Isaiah Crowell and Terrence West, and I think they have a good line, and you're going to be able to run the football. What do you think of Gurley? What do you think about Gurley to the Browns?
You know what? I would actually say there's a higher likelihood of Melvin Gordon going to the Browns. I tweeted it out probably, I don't know. They all kind of blend together these days, but I think it was Monday. And
at 12 or 19?
I would say at 19 makes a little more sense. And they've also talked to teams about moving down from there, too. So it's not set in stone they're going to stay there if they keep the two picks initially. If they don't move up, is what I'm saying. So Melvin Gordon, there's a feeling that there are four teams that make the most, that there's the strongest connection to Gordon. One is the Browns. That 19 pick is something to consider. And then that three-pick cluster between Carolina 25, Baltimore 26, Dallas 27.
Yep.
So let's just say here, the Browns want to slide back a couple of spots, 22, 23. They could still do it and be in front of those teams and get Melvin Gordon if they want. So I think there's a stronger connection to Gordon than there is to Gurley. Now, if Gurley starts sliding, he's there at 12, maybe all bets are off.
What is your perspective on Shane Ray, the news this week, you know, of him getting pulled over very early in the morning, possession of marijuana, you know, entering the NFL already in phase one of the drug program? How do you think it affects his draft status?
Well, as you know, and you know, you guys both have seen over the last couple of years, I think it's, you know, there's a relaxed attitude towards marijuana, maybe more so than there was in 2008, 2001, you know, going back 10, 15 years. I think people have changed their ideas about this. That said, getting pulled over 3 days before the draft with a bag of pot in your car, not the smartest thing in the world. And so GMs are saying, hey, what kind of a decision maker is this guy? Do I think this is going to completely ruin this kid's draft stock? No. There are some teams that are willing to look past it. You know, not every team is going to put a little green pot leaf next to his name on the draft board. You know what I mean? I think everybody's going to say, good kid, bad mistake, awful timing. That's how you chalk it up. Will it hurt him in some teams' eyes? Yes, but not all of them. I still, even though he's not a perfect player, even though he has a toe injury, which is a concern for an explosion player, you know, a guy who tries to burst off the line, I still think he might end up one of the first 32 picks.
Got a lot of talent and a lot of people. I've heard that as well, and that Randy Gregory might not even fall out of the top half of the draft just because teams are so enamored with his talent and his ability to get to the quarterback. Talk with Eric Edholm from Yahoo Sports. So I asked you earlier, you put 38% that the Browns acquire Sam Bradford. Do you believe that they are fully out of the Marcus Mariota sweepstakes with Tennessee, given that the Pransom seems and the price that they're asking seems to be so exorbitant?
It seems high, doesn't it? Right. I mean, you know, the two picks don't seem like they're enough for Tennessee. They're asking for a third one. Hey, if I'm Tennessee, that's what I'm going to do. But
sure,
getting it and actually getting it returned, those are two totally different things. So if the Titans came down, if they weren't in love with the package that the Eagles threw up, the Rams, I will throw the Rams out there as a wild card team in this whole mix. I really believe they are not to be overlooked in the Mariota sweepstakes. Then, yeah, I mean, I think if the price comes down, Cleveland could reapproach. If not, they would be smart to go a different direction, even though I like Marcus Mariota, and I think he could be very good. I just don't think
he's worth all that.
Yeah, it's a lot, isn't it? You know, without the receivers they have, et cetera.
It seems like a lot. So what would surprise you more at this point? That the Browns acquire Sam Bradford, or that the Browns actually pick two players in the first round at 12 and 19?
Yeah, the latter, man. I don't think it's happening. I think there's going to be some move. We saw them make, three moves in the first round last year, trading up, trading back, et cetera. I think those picks are moving. I don't think they're going all the way up to two, but I think they can slide 3-4 spots one direction, 3-4 spots back. You could see them with two totally different choices by the end of the night. I'd be okay with that if they get their guy.
It sounds like Danny Shelton will be there for the Browns at 12. Is that the sense you're getting as well as we get closer to this draft?
I think so. I mean, if he gets past Chicago at 7, and Vic Fangio, the Bears' new D coordinator, never really put a huge emphasis on that nose tackle spot, in my opinion. I think he's always favored the 5 techs and the edge guys, and obviously the inside linebackers too, but still. I don't see that as being a perfect match, unless there's an unexpected trade. I think he could be there at 12. Do I love him as a player? No. I would much rather get him at 19 than at 12. That's kind of the way I view him. So I like him. I don't love him. I don't know how the Browns view him. I honestly don't.
Last one, Eric. Bryce Petty is a name we're hearing linked to the Saints at the end of the first round. Dorial Green-Beckham being linked to teams at the end of the first round as well. You think those two ultimately end up going in round one tonight?
Yeah, I was told Petty a few months ago was going to go in the top 50, and don't be shocked if he goes in the 30s, meaning somewhere either the last handful of picks in the first round, a la Teddy Bridgewater last year, picking a Vikings trade into the first round to get him, or somewhere in that Jets, Redskins, in the mid-30s. So I think that's a good spot for him. New Orleans, they on the clock last year. I was told they discussed Jimmy Garoppolo in round two. Ultimately went against it. They picked the corner out of Nebraska. That kid struggled. Garoppolo, there's a lot of people who like him in New England. So I think the Saints are kind of kicking themselves for not getting their QB last year. Different style guy, but Petty, if they don't get him, look for the Saints to try to come back for Garrett Grayson later on.
Garrett Grayson seems to be a natural fit in that offense down there in New Orleans. All right, I said we'll ask question, but I lied. One more. Browns draft, what would make you come out of tonight saying that the Browns did exactly what they had to do? Let's say you're Ray Farmer, and we're going to suppose that you're picking two players, or you could trade for Bradford with one of those picks and pick somebody. But what would make you say this is exactly what they needed to do?
I'm a little nervous about the whole Bradford thing. I've always liked Sam, but just the number of questions and unknowns right now just scares me off a little bit. Injury history, contract. Does he want to play as a team? I don't know. So that I'm going to put it.
And he's going to cost a first round pick. I mean, Adrian Peterson can't be traded for a first round pick right now.
Right, exactly. That makes zero sense to me. I don't get it. Let me just throw out that scenario that I kind of kicked around earlier. Maybe you trade up from 12 and you get one of the dynamic front seven guys. And I would say is somebody in that Fowler, Beasley, Bud Dupree, discussion, somebody like that. And then you move back from 19 and you get Melvin Gordon, even though I know what you said, you like those other two backs. But that wouldn't be a bad day, I think. You'd supplant the number of picks you'd have to give up with the ones you'd be getting back in a trade back. So it would be an interesting day if something like that happened for the Browns.
Do you think for the Browns a wide receiver is important, though? And if you went your scenario, then maybe at 43 you pick up that wide receiver?
I think so. But here's the thing. I don't know if Ray Farmer thinks so. I think he used his exact position. Yeah, I mean, and again, if Ray were to come back in round two with Jalen Strong or Phillip Lissette.
Devin Smith or somebody.
Yeah, Devin or, you're an Ohio guy. You see him. He's unbelievable.
Absolutely.
Yep.
I like him. And you're an OFU guy. That's why you're a little
fox. Wouldn't mind it.
He and Dorsett were criminally underused last year as those speedballs, those guys who can run the nine routes. Take the top off of defense. So they're great options in that range, I think.
Eric, thanks so much for all of the insight. Certainly another wild draft night ahead for the Cleveland Browns. What will Ray Farmer do in his second year? We'll find out in about 5.5 hours when the NFL draft kicks off here in Chicago. Eric, thanks for the great stuff. Folks, follow him on Twitter, at Eric Edholm, bringing the good stuff there from Yahoo Sports. So appreciate it, man.
I just hope I survive the weekend, guys. Take it easy.
All right,
thanks,
you got
Eric.
It. When we come back, final opportunity to call your shots. 216-578-0850 here live at the Red Ivy Browns Backers Bar in Chicago, home of the 2015 NFL Draft.